Are we live?
No.
May I have a
Why
bottle
am I on
of,
the couch with these
if
two
If anyone
guys,
has a bottle of water, will someone toss one to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I know. It's a little
great.
Dry.
Water.
Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Not only is it me tonight and Tucker Carlson, but honoring us with his presence, the great Don Jr.
Good to
Thanks,
see you, buddy.
Don, Tucker, thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. My audience looking forward to it. We've got an amazing 78,000 people in the freaking chat. The chat room, folks, is probably the biggest live stream in the world right now. Today's show brought to you by MyPillow. They're having a $25 extravaganza sale on some of their amazing products. You can check out the deals at MyPillow.com. Make sure you use promo code Dan. So, Tucker, we got a hard out around 7 o'clock, so I want to get right to it.
I think we got longer now because I think you're just rolling with me, right?
I'm rolling
with you. So we got a little bit of time.
By the way, where they're rolling to is going to be epic, so you might want to follow that one. So, of course, it'll be in playbook probably in the morning. But so, Tucker, you and I accurately, sadly, tragically, did a podcast interview a while ago on your show, which TuckerCarlson.com. They can check out all your material. By the way, I'll be with Tucker September 11th in Tulsa. If you want tickets, TuckerCarlson.com. And we were talking about how the left is insane. They have no emergency brake on their behavior. And you had mentioned how, well, they didn't let him govern last time. They sicked the military on him, lawfare. Well, what's the next logical step? Potential assassination. You and I were called crazy lunatics by Daniel Arkin on NBC News, conspiracy theorists. And notably, without contacting either me nor you, they said that we presented that without evidence, despite me having mounds of evidence from actual sources that he was in a lot of danger. Your initial thoughts on that, now that you've sadly been proven right?
Why no sources?
I'm just using common sense as my guide because I believe in trend lines. And, you know, things tend to move in recognizable patterns, and the acceleration was really obvious. I mean, this is like the central fact of history is that things just don't appear out of nowhere. You can predict them with some accuracy if you just pay attention to the preceding events. And so they were totally dehumanized. First of all, they're calling him Hitler, which is a predicate to killing somebody. Would you kill Hitler if you could? I think most people would say yes. That'd be my moral duty to do that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer reached that conclusion, right? This person is such a threat that while killing is wrong, it's justified in this case because it will save the lives of many. So they're calling Trump Hitler constantly. And then they're trying to impeach him, and then now they're trying to arrest him and put him in prison for the rest of his life, and none of it is working. He becomes stronger. You never hear anybody call Trump a racist anymore. By the way, that was the signature attack against Trump. If you were a Hivero Indian living in the Amazon headwaters in 2016, the one thing you knew about the United States was there was a racist running for president. Now nobody says he's a racist. Why? Because all the people he supposedly hates are voting for him. So that's like not working. None of this is working. In fact, it's counterproductive. Every time you attack him, he becomes stronger. This is a much recognized phenomenon. And so where do you go next? And they're out of options. And I just made the very obvious point that this trajectory leads to assassination. Like, why is that crazy? And the last thing I'll say is that Daniel Arkin, I hope, is enjoying his health insurance because he's going to be on Cobra soon. Because that whole edifice is coming down. Because nobody believes it, therefore nobody watches it. They pulled Morning Joe off the air yesterday.
Oh, he was pissed.
They were ordered by Comcast. Comcast. Fact, I do have a source on this. Don't air this crap because these people are crazy and it's hurting our parent company. They're lunacy. So they're literally Morning Joe is so, and he's not the worst, though he's the most annoying. is so radical and crazy that they literally can't even air him anymore. The liberals at Comcast, what's the lifespan, speaking of trajectory, speaking of trend lines, of NBC News, of CBS, of CNN, of the New York Times? It's like very limited. We're looking at the last moments of existence for these organizations. And so I would just say to Arkin, if he's watching, I feel so sorry for you. I don't know if you're married, but at some point you have to explain to that woman how you're not providing for her anymore because you don't have a job because what you did was disgusting and your whole business was destroyed.
I mean, you know, Don, I think to myself often, I mean, you're obviously living this. It's your father, and you're the only guy on this couch who's actually had a Secret Service detail.
Yeah.
I've worked one. I've never had one. You know, you look at this guy, Dan Arkin, who writes this piece calling me and Tucker crazies for highlighting.
By the way, just so you know, I was in there too because I agreed with you at the time. So I was also vilified and called a conspiracy theorist because when they said, well, Tucker said this, I go, of course he's right. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what world are you watching that you believe that that's an impossibility? Like, what are you, an imbecile? Like, of course they are, but it was crazy.
Well, you got briefings from your agents, correct?
Yeah, when my father was president, I was the number two, according to them, I was the number two most threatened person in the United States.
Well, I'm sure.
After my father, because I'm vocal. You know, I'd say that. I don't back down. I push hard. I think I've been proven right on virtually everything. But yeah, I was the number two most threatened person that, you know, under the purview of the United States Secret Service.
And it, you know, Tucker, one of the things you and I both share, I think, in common, and I'm sure you agree. I don't want to leave you out of this one. But you and I particularly, especially when we were at Fox together, is the media, the liberal media, and some swampy conservative media, or pseudo-conservative media, whatever, they really, really get under my skin. They do. It's like a tick, and I wish they wouldn't, because there were times I, you know, oh, I can't sleep at night. People say, no, there were sometimes I literally can't go to sleep at night. Like, I have to take, like, a melatonin, because I'll read something, and I'm like, fuck these motherfuckers. Like, they're so stupid, right? The thing you and I nailed, I think, to a T, that to this day, you used to talk about it, and everyone else avoided it, was this replacement theory stuff. This was the worst media story in human history. There were literal articles, and I hate that word because it's so overused, written in the New York Times called We Can Replace Them. There are hours and hours of Democrats on tape talking about demographic destiny. The demographics of the country are going to change. We're going to replace these. Joe Biden's on tape talking about how the white man. And then when we notice it, they're like, that Tucker and Bongino, them mother effing racists, you better fire them.
They wrote whole books about it, and now, of course, it's true.
Yeah.
But the hate that it displays, like, why would you want to do that? You know, why would you want to watch the people whose ancestors built the country die, mock them as they die, and then replace them? I don't understand. Like, only so, I mean, that suggests like actual hate, like homicidal hate. I would never want something like that for anybody. And by the way, it's not just the United States, it's happening all over the Western world.
Yeah,
the people whose ancestors built these countries are dying and they're being replaced. And it's like, why would you want to do that? There's something very heavy going on. You know, I mean, go to Sweden, go to the UK, go to London. I mean, it's shocking. And I don't, at this point, care if you're not allowed to notice it or if you're racist to notice it. It's happening in Ireland. Ireland was never a colonial power. Like, in the United States, you're like, well, you have to put up with this because you were mean to Puerto Rico or something, or, you know what I mean? Or you've used too much carbon, so you have an obligation to allow all of Central Africa move to your country and give them housing vouchers. Okay. But Ireland never did anything to anybody. Ireland was oppressed by Great Britain, actually. Right. It was never a colonial power. It sat out an entire
world
war.
There are actual movies about it.
No, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They suffered a potato famine. So why are you doing this to the Irish? They are the indigenous population of their island. And you're watching them die and replacing them with people from the third world. On what basis are you doing that, George Soros, actually? Like, what's the real answer?
Yeah.
And you have to think that this is genocidal intent. Like, what else is it? I mean, honestly, what else is it? Oh, shut up. How about no? Because I want to live like it's 1985 in the country that I loved, where honest questions could be asked with full confidence. You had a right to do that because you're an American. And I'm going to live that way until I die. And I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to live like it's 1985 in my country. And I'm going to ask a super obvious question. Why are you doing that? And why are we putting up with it? I don't think we should.
You had the greatest line ever. He did a profile. I think it was in New York or whatever. You did a long form profile with one of these.
Never doing that again.
Yeah, it was one of these total douche canoes in like New Yorker or whatever. But you had a great line in there. Yeah, I was like, man, that was really nice of him to do that. I did one too. This guy, Evan Osnard or whatever, fucked me over.
Wrote a
bunch of bullshit. Yeah, so I wrote a hit piece on him later. I'm like, ah, fuck this guy. So in the piece, you said this great line. You're like, you know, once in a while, you got to throw a shit grenade in the tent. And you know what? I read that and I'm like, I know exactly what you were saying.
No, actually, I was quoting, it wasn't me. I was quoting a deceased friend of mine called Christopher Hitchens, and who I used to drink with. He never quit and died, and I did quit. But anyway, many, many years ago, he said to me, you know, my goal is not even ideological. Every day, as a matter of principle, I want to throw a grenade over the wall into asshole HQ. And I thought, I want that to be my goal. Yeah, yeah. I want to do that.
I found my spirit animal.
Yes, I did. And I really have tried.
Don, did you find, like me, like his monologues at night?
They were great.
Where they were, you know, the one thing about you is you honestly, Paul, am I right? My wife and I used to watch, like, with rapt attention, right? We would sit there and we'd be like, the greatest part of it was you never knew what was coming, man.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of the news cycle. And you'd be like, shit, I'm thinking about that different now, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why Tucker
Carlson.
Well,
you don't want to be part of the news cycle. I mean, unless.
But it drove the news. It did. I mean, people, the entire next day conversation, even on social, was based around
I'll give you a perfect example. The Arkansas governor, when Hutchinson, when he came on about the cutting guys' nuts off, the kids' balls off, and you just you've just verbally castrated him. That his career will never recover from that interview ever.
I hope not. He ran for president anyway, and I interviewed him again at some forum in Iowa. There's a certain kind of, I don't know that they're all actually closeted, but they seem all seem very closeted to me, or at least they have super unhappy wives. But this very kind of weak male, well, that's just true. It's 100% true.
Even disagreeing with you.
They're all that way. It's Mitch McConnell or whatever.
So good.
All that way. And there's something about them. I think that they're the governor of Utah is that way. It's a certain sort of man, and they hate themselves so much. And my operating rule in life is if someone hates himself, he's probably not going to love you. It's guys like that who just like get off on abasing themselves. That's totally cool.
I think the word is cuck.
It is, literally is cuck. They are cuck. That's like the most brilliant. By the way,
it's Rumble. We can say it. It's
that
it's
when they started telling you, you weren't allowed to use the term cuck or it's okay to be white. I remember thinking like, well, why? Like, why can't you say that? You know what I mean? Yeah, no one ever explained. It was like, shut up. That's an extremist term. I didn't even know what cucked meant.
Yeah.
But like the Genius Collective on the internet really saw deeply into the souls of people like Mitch McConnell or that creepy, the trainee Arkansas governor. And they just saw who they were because it was elemental. It wasn't a political difference. It was like something inside this man was so hollow and broken and sick and diseased and self-hating that it had to do with a cuckold fantasy. Like, that's totally right. I can smell it.
Do you guys think, because this is the one issue all three of us are going to agree on the couch. I know we do. Because we were
only one. Unfortunately, I spent enough time with both of you. I think we agree on probably everything.
This is news, and this one was something we went all in on. We all agreed J.D. Vance was the best pick for vice president, given the portfolio of people available. Don, your initial thoughts. I mean, no one's closer to your dad than you. I mean, I know your dad had this short list. I know, you know, Burgum seems like a nice enough guy. I went to a fundraiser. He was there. He's actually a pretty good speaker.
Yeah.
You know, I guess Rubio has his assets too, whatever. I don't get into politicians. I don't want to date these guys. I got a wife. I'm married. I don't really care. However, JD to me is the one guy. I've had a couple conversations, but I don't have coffee with him. We're not best friends. But he came off as the most genuine and sincere. And even though you may disagree with him on some things, I don't, but you may disagree with him on Ukraine or trade policy. He's not fucking around. Like, he says what he means.
No, he's the real deal.
At least he's going to take a stand.
He's the real deal. I mean, I read his book. That's how I got to know him before. You know, I read his book back in like whatever it was, early teens when it came out. I go, man, this guy's got to be in politics. I loved the story. And then he actually sort of started this thing, like never Trumper, because like he didn't have any information. But he was also the guy that didn't just say, okay, well, I'm going to accept Trump now and roll. He was like, I was wrong. Yes. I did not think that the brash guy from New York was going to fight for XYZ. I didn't think he was going to, like, I was wrong. I bought into the media narrative, and he became like a champion of the America First, of the MAGA cause, and just articulates it so well. So, like, we became friends. Like, but I was, like, crushed. I was like, oh, this guy, I love it. And I was like, he's a never Trump. I can't even believe it. But it wasn't just he came to terms with it. Like, he was just like, I was wrong. And from that moment on, just started fighting for all of the things that we believe in. So, you know, I was really passionate about that. I was also passionate about having a guy that's young that can take that mantle of America First, not go back to neocon bullshit where, you know, we haven't been in a war in 3 minutes. Let's make sure we spend $4 trillion and mortgage our children's futures to, you know, to hell. I don't want it to end in 4 years after my father's done, right? Mm-hmm. I want that to be conservatism going forward, not a reversion back to the stuff that has failed us and that doesn't represent the people across the country, but it plays great in the swamp. It's a big deal.
Your dad started a movement.
Yeah.
It's not about him anymore. It is now. He is obviously the guy who's the, you know, the head of the MAGA movement. But your father's not going to be around for hopefully a long time. But he started a movement. And I, you know, I said, are these other guys the guys to take the mantle, or is JD? Yeah. Tucker, I know you were Team JD.
I was at a dinner a few years ago in my old neighborhood in DC before I left, probably 5 years ago. And everyone's talking about Trump, you know, what do you think of Trump? And I said, you know, the smartest guy in that whole constellation is Don Jr. And they're like, yeah, Don Jr.'s the smartest. Oh, yeah, Don Jr. Okay. He shoots animals, right? And I was like, actually, Don Jr.'s the smartest one. It's true. And that. I thought your analysis is it's so right. I almost don't have anything to add to that. It's exactly right what you just said. And he speaks for me on that. But can I say one thing about JD? He's like, he's like a normal person. He's like a good person. Politicians are just so hollow. You can't overstate that. You can't have a conversation with them. I mean, how many dinners have I had with politicians? Senators, presidents, all of them.
They're all the same.
They're all the same. If you say
you can predict their answers, right?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. But even in private, they're false. J.D. Vance, I mean, I've had the privilege of talking to him a lot before he ran for Senate and this current post. He was like tormented. Like, what effect does this have on my wife? What effect does this have on my three children? These are real questions for him. These are not fake performative questions. Like, I'm going to spend more time with my family. It's like, how do they feel about this? What will this do to my soul? He weighs the moral consequences of decisions. He actually does. By the way, I saw a picture of him today in his Marine uniform. I've never seen that before. Try to get J.D. Vance to talk about his Marine service. He's embarrassed of it.
He doesn't parade it around like every...
doesn't parade it. He never talks about it.
The best talking
You mean he doesn't have the Pete Buttigieg photo?
No, but it's different. You know what? And this was such a critical point I spoke to. I'm not a veteran, so I spoke to a couple other people who are. I go, there's a difference here, right? You know, you look at a Buttigieg, you know, they go to Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and then they do like the... Like, I want to be a politician, so I'll go do some obligatory service. J.D. enlisted in the Marine Corps out of high school.
Yeah.
He did that first.
Yes.
It wasn't the afterthought because I want to get into politics and it'd be a nice box to check. He did it first before he knew where his life was going.
I remember
watching. That's a huge deal and a big difference. And he doesn't talk about it.
Listen, it takes a set of moose nuts to go in the Marines, too. That's not an easy boot camp.
I think he's the first Marine ever to be on a ticket, actually. Actual Marines. Obviously, Army.
But not
Marines. Thank you, Marines. Leather neck.
And I like DeSantis. I mean, I'm in Florida in the winter, but I remember watching one of these debates or something, and DeSantis, in the end, I thought he was on one of the SEAL teams because he was talking about with the SEAL teams and da-da-da-da, and I'm like, what? Weren't you like a freaking lawyer or something? Like, what? Stop. It's too fake. I can't do it. And I like DeSantis, but it's too fake. And it's also, it's being fake about something that's kind of important and that we all revere as Americans. It makes us all cynical about military service. And JD, to his enormous credit, will never leverage that because, again, it makes everybody cynical when you lie about something important. You know what I mean?
I think I'd just like you to address this if you could. I played a clip of you on my podcast today. You were, I don't know what you're talking, Heritage or something. You said, you know, all of the right/wrong people hate J.D. Vance. And I can you just go into that? Because that is so important. Like the Lindsey Grahams of the world.
Well, it's just like
who
Trump.
Was, by the way, shit talking J.D. Vance the entire day, the day before. He was trying to get your dad to go in.
You heard about that, I guess. There's a lot of lobbying efforts going on the day before. And I mean, your post just brutalized it. I think it's the greatest thing on the internet.
I couldn't deal with it in the last week. Like, and I hate to be mean to Lindsey Graham. I suspect he likes it, actually. Naughty little guy. But he does. Every time I see him, he's like, hey, man. I'm like,
really?
I was incredibly cruel to you. This is like some sort of weird whatever trip that you have. But I guess the point I would make is J.D. It's almost, and Trump is exactly the same. It's almost like To Catch a Predator. It's like you wave Trump or J.D. Vance out there and all the creeps show up to hate. You know, it's like they're such clarifying forces.
Like moths.
It's like Catch a Predator. It's like, no, I'm not kidding. It's like, stand in a room full of people in Washington and say, I think J.D. Vance should be the vice president. Everyone who has a heart attack is exactly who you don't want to babysit your kids. Like, it's totally true. And in this specific case, I watched, and since I spent my whole life in D.C., I knew a lot of the people, or actually all of them. And they were all the people whose careers have really, and decisions have really wrecked our country. And I kept thinking, like, on what grounds do you have any authority to give advice to anybody for anything? It's like, literally, you pass a homeless guy and he's giving you real estate advice. You talk to a bankrupt guy and he's giving you investment strategy. And it's like, you've discredited yourself. It's a fat guy telling you how to get fit. Like, what? No. When you have a track record of success, I will listen to you. But if you're, I don't know, fill in the blank, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Are you joking? Everything that you have advocated for has hurt people and above all hurt the United States of America. Why don't you sit the next 20 years out?
By the way,
in
we have
ashes and sackcloth.
We're about to cross 175,000 streamers. So, hey,
yeah,
Chris,
I'd say we're
Chris
the biggest
here?
In the world, right? We've got to be.
Number one
what
in
about
the USA
the world?
Right
what about
now.
The world? I don't want to just win
number
America.
One
I want to win the world.
Stream in the USA.
Wait, are you going to tell viewers who is actually the floor director of this show?
Chris, wave hello. Come on over. At least
hey, Chris,
say hi.
How come Poplowski's never my producer?
Folks, no, I was about to say, most people don't have.
Like, say hi. Come here. Just sit next to me for a minute here.
Billionaire media moguls like
this. This is the CEO of Rumble. Chris, just say hello to everybody.
Hey, chat. What's going on?
We got 175,000.
Biggest stream in the U.S.
Biggest stream on Twitch right now.
Holy fuck.
And,
I hope you don't mind me cursing. Don, I don't
even give a shit.
I know, you don't give a shit.
The reason I am the way I am is because I didn't grow up like the conventional billionaire son. My dad stuck me on job sites, so I grew up with construction workers, so I talk like that.
I want to thank you, though, brother. This is because of you creating Rumble and giving us an opportunity to not have to do this bullshit censorship stuff on YouTube. You know, they kicked me off for saying masks don't work. These motherfuckers. Can you believe that shit? And you think they'd apologize to me now?
Well, that's how we know that masks don't work.
If they thought it may be true at the time, there's never accountability for just being wrong about everything, right?
Thanks, guys.
Marshall, for this thing. We appreciate it. Hey, let me take a quick break. Gee, run that spot for me. MyPillow paid for this thing, and I'm a capitalist, so Tucker, I know you understand.
Yes, I do.
You've asked, and MyPillow, listen, they're finally bringing you the most requested offer, MyPillow.com. You got to like...
It went blank.
MyPillow.com.
There it is.
Okay, there we go. Now you really got to go buy stuff. Get the queen size premium MyPillow, now only $19.98. MyPillow is made with patented adjustable fill. Adjust to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. Help keeps your neck aligned and holds its shape all night long, so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. Get their six-piece kitchen or bath towel set. It's only $25. Brand new mattress topper as low as $69.98. Their famous MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $25, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-637-4982. Use promo code Dan to get huge discounts on all the MyPillow products, including premium queen-size MyPillows, only $19.98. It's the lowest price ever. Don't delay. Order today. Folks, take care of MyPillow. They keep this show free for you guys. These advertisers really help us out a lot, and we appreciate it. We're now up to 180,000 people, probably going to cross 200 soon. So, Tucker, let me dig into a topic I know is really sensitive to you and matters a lot, and it matters to me. You know, when I first started in Republican politics, informally, not running for office, I was an old school kind of Republican where we are kind of the world's semi-policeman. It's mm-hmm. our job to hold world order. And what woke me up was the Iraq war, because I realized from the start there was really no game plan. I said, well, we're not going to go into Baghdad. So what exactly was the plan then? We were going in here to what, send a message? Like, couldn't we have done that by just sending a few like bombs into next to Saddam's headquarters so he knows? It didn't make any sense to me. Now we're over in Ukraine, and I will not... Anyone out there, a liberal who's going to say you're a Putin stooge, let me just preemptively say, go fuck yourself, your parents, your kids, your dog, all you're a piece of shit. You're making that up, and I hate you in advance. That has nothing to do with it. I spent time in Russia. Putin's a D-bag. Okay, forget it. I'm not his guy. However, what I don't understand about Ukraine is we're pouring all this money and assets, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of tactical battle plan as to what victory. No one can even explain to you what it looks like at this point. Are we ceding the eastern portion of Ukraine? Are we not? Here's the attackums. No attackums. Here's F-16s, but don't train the pilots. Here's attackums, but don't shoot in Moscow. Like, oh, gee, that's a good idea. Like, maybe we'd start nuclear work. No one seems to have a plan. And we're just supposed to give them money and let them do this?
Well, of course there's a plan, just not the one they're articulating. I think it's really important to stop listening to people like Tony Blinken or others who pose as your moral betters while committing genocide, which is what they're doing in Ukraine, because their words bear no relationship to what they're actually doing or their intent at all. They've depopulated Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian men, an entire generation, have died. The average age of conscription is 43. They're conscripting guys with Down syndrome. So the Ukrainian population has collapsed thanks to NATO, the Biden administration, in a war that they started. They provoked this war on purpose, obviously. And now in a little known... or noticed in the West development that I was told this by an ally of Zelensky's who sits in the Ukrainian parliament. Zelensky allowed the parliament to change the law to make it legal for foreign companies to buy land in Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe, the largest wheat producer in Europe. And so you're going to have a depopulated country, which will immediately be filled by immigrants from the third world, of course. And you will have the actual land of the nation of Ukraine owned by foreigners. And so Ukraine as a country will disappear. Yeah. And how did that happen? It happened because its allies, NATO, were protecting it.
Yeah.
So we just destroyed and stole Ukraine from the Ukrainian people, and we're the heroes. And by we, I mean the Biden administration.
And BlackRock.
And BlackRock. And
whoever's buying it. Yeah.
And the completely evil former prime minister of Great Britain, Boris Johnson, who is somehow lurking around here. I hope I run into him. Who stopped the peace process at the request of the Biden administration, when the Ukrainians and the Russians wanted to end the war, and they stopped them from ending the war. I guess the only thing I would say, I could go on for hours. I would just end with one sentence, which is, don't allow the worst people in the world to seize the moral high ground and brainwash you into thinking that they somehow have pure motives and you are somehow off balance, like, oh, I can't really say this. No, they're evil. And we know that because of what they've done. We're watching it right now. What they did was evil. It hurt Ukraine. And I don't care how many little lapel pins Lindsey Graham has, he's responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians. So to call you, who cares what they call you? You did that. They did that. They started that war and they destroyed that country. So how are they walking free? I don't understand it. It's a money laundering scheme, obviously, sending your tax dollars to a foreign country so the people who started this genocide can split it amongst themselves, period.
Yeah. Hey, Don, I wanted to hit this from another angle. Mm-hmm. I'm not blaming anyone in Ukraine for what Putin did or anything, but the Ukrainians and Zelensky clearly knew about the impeachment of your dad. Yeah. They knew what was going on. They knew what your dad was saying was an absolutely legitimate inquiry about the deepest levels of corruption in our government. And what bothers me to this day is Zelensky said nothing during that impeachment. He could have come out as a world leader and said, folks, I got to tell you something. This is bullshit. I don't want to get involved in American politics. You dragged me in this. I know what happened. And what these assholes on the left are telling you happened is not what happened.
No, 100%. I mean, it was always that. But you see, the whole thing is it's one big scam. It's like he's getting rich in this. All of his, cabinet is getting rich. You see the videos of them buying yachts and cars and all of this stuff all over the world because it is it's a giant money laundering operation. And, they're getting their little vig. They're getting the 10% for the big guy. Like, no one can explain to us why Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma. Like, he didn't know anything about oil or gas. He doesn't speak the language. But his dad was in charge, and it was all there. But as long as they were getting their vig, they didn't care. They were going to let it keep going. I mean, that's
why how many people died.
Zelensky doesn't want to stop this war. He's been turned into a world hero. I'm not sure why. I don't know what he's done. Like, he's not on the front lines. He's sending what he considers the peasants to go die on the front lines. I mean, this was a guy. I mean, he was an actor, but he wasn't even like an actor. He was like a guy that played piano with his dick. Like, literally, that's like
fairly well,
like,
to his credit.
I mean, it's it's a talent, I guess. I don't know that I'm going to give
you try that.
But he's been turned into a deity by the left because they don't believe in actual God, so they just create their heroes
as
they go.
Now the NSC and the state and the Biden White House hate Zelensky. They're very mad at Zelensky, and that's just crazy. He's done everything that they asked. It's not working. They could never beat Russia. It was never going to happen. Russia's 100 million more people and much deeper industrial capacity. You can't win a land war against Russia if you're Ukraine, period. It's never going to work.
Yeah.
But they encouraged Ukraine to kill itself, and now they're mad at Zelensky. I have to say, the people I'm angriest at are the American enablers of this in the Congress, and one of them is the Speaker of the House. And I asked Mike Johnson 2 months ago when he was, appropriating more of our tax dollars to Ukraine, telling me offline, off camera, but we need to do this for democracy. Okay, democracy, a country that's like persecuting Christians, democracy. I said, how many Ukrainians have been killed? Well, I don't know. I know many Russians have been killed because my briefers, the liars from the intel world who keep the Congress brainwashed and controlled, have told me this number of Russians have been killed. I said, have they told you how many Ukrainians have been killed? No. I said, how can you fund a war on behalf of a country and not even keep track of how many of its men have died? Don't you have a moral obligation to know that? Yeah. If I'm serious, if I'm paying for a war on behalf of a country, I feel like my conscience would require me to know the cost to that country. But they don't care. They don't care at all. So what does that say about them, actually? Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. And every time you hear it, what's really sick is like every time like a Russian Jeep gets a flat tire, it's like it's this major victory for Ukraine. But they lose like a quadrant of the country. And it's a strategic withdrawal. Like, they know they're losing badly. And they keep doing it anyway.
They were never going to win.
Yeah,
how could
course
you
not.
Win? They have 100 million less people. It's a land war. Russia's a really serious country that has a much more evolved industrial economy than we do.
But Tucker, can I ask you this on that point?
Because yeah.
You said the word win, but what does win even look like? Let me just give you a hypothetical.
Oh, well,
let's just say they overrun the eastern border of Ukraine into Russia, right, and start taking Russian territory. You understand you have a country with nuclear weapons, not tactical nukes only, but actual like city destroying nuclear weapons. So I had this conversation with another conservative podcast guy I was on, and it was a really great, healthy conversation. But this went on for about 15 minutes where I said, okay, say they do win. You really believe Vladimir Putin's going to go, you know what? I lost. Let's just go sit apart an aircraft carrier and sign the surrender agreement now. Like, He is never going to do that. It's winning is almost the worst thing that could happen because it'll be a nuclear weapon launch. Yeah,
it's so distressing. I mean, I never wanted the United States to become an empire, but I think that was inevitable once it became a unipolar world in 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed. We ran the world, and I think we did a good job in some ways. But if you're going to do that, you have to be serious about it. You know, empires are serious. The Romans were serious, but the British were very serious about it. Our leaders are not serious. They don't know anything about Ukraine. They don't know anything about... They don't speak the freaking languages. The people making the policy don't speak the languages. How can you understand a country if you don't speak the language? You can't. Yeah. Even if you do, you can't. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, appointed by Joe Biden, told a friend of mine at a school event, because they have kids at the same school together, he said, well, what is the goal? And she goes, well, obviously take Crimea back. Crimea? What? Crimea, first of all, is Russian. It's where the fleet is. Like, that's, A, not going to happen. Second, if you actually tried to do that, you would get a nuclear response immediately. It's non-negotiable. Any person knows anything about it, including lots of the knowledgeable Democrats will admit this. That's insane. And that's the U.S. ambassador to the single most important foreign policy sort of objective of the United States right now.
Yeah.
We have a moron in this. I mean, like, it's so distressing. Look, the bottom line is our country is being colonized by the rest of the world. It's being invaded. Tens of millions of people have come in. More Americans have died in the last 5 years of drug ODs than died in the entire Second World War, okay? Our leaders think it's, like, outrageous to even suggest we should use the military, the U.S. military, which only exists to protect our country, to do something about that.
Yeah.
We spent 10 years bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail because, you know, China and the Soviet Union were moving supplies to South Vietnam through it, through Cambodia and North Vietnam. We bombed the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We spent billions doing that. We haven't even considered bombing a supply route from the Sierra Madre into Texas and California. Like, what? As more Americans died than in the entire Second World War? This is insane. The point of the U.S. government is to serve the people of the United States, American citizens. It has no other point. No other point. There's no other point. And they're so demonstrably not doing that they have no legitimacy left. It's not a legitimate government anymore. And that's really scary. Because you don't know what's an illegitimate government, like, who knows what happens next? It's freaking me out. So the only way to restore legitimacy to our government is to force it, and I hope it will, under President Trump, to serve its own citizens, or at least try. They're not even trying now.
Well, it's great because you kind of segued unintentionally into my next question. I'll start with you, Don, and I'll leave it with you, Tucker. You know, I'm long on the United States. I am. Yeah. I love Jesus. Jesus has been with me my whole life, and I really believe he touched this place different. I mean, we should have never won the Revolutionary War. We probably won the War of 1812 because of a thunderstorm. We should have never survived the Civil War. I mean, the freaking hippies should have torn us apart. And not only are we here, we're still the wealthiest country in the history of known sentient beings anywhere in the known cosmos, and it's not even close. Yeah. So I'm long in the United States, but I'm also not a moron. And I ask my audience a lot, is it bad enough yet? And I always ask this question, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to ask Tucker. Do you sense that, yes, we're long in the United States, but this may be one of those elections where if we lose this, it may not be salvageable. Institutions falling apart. What Tucker was just talking about, fentanyl, the border, our military getting hollowed out, DEI, cutting little kids' nuts off. I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah, I truly think so. It's what I talk about all the time. I mean, the sort of the curve of the insanity of today's left. I mean, you look at just their hills to die on. I mean, you talk transgender surgeries for three-year-olds and their parents can't know about it. Like,
if you would have said that in a Democrat debate 20 years ago, you'd be left off the stage.
But honestly, I wake up some days, I feel like I'm Jim Carrey in the Truman Show. It's like someone's got to be filming. Like, they're fucking with me. They have to be fucking with me. And I'm the only one that's not in on it. They're filming it. It's a great show. There's 2 billion people watching the live stream, and I'm just not aware because there's no way that it can be real, and yet it is. And so, you know, you hope that pendulum corrects. You hope, but if it doesn't with this, if it doesn't under just the straightforward metrics that we see each and every day, economically, world war, otherwise, it's we'd be unrecoverable. If we can't figure that out, or if we can't figure out how to stop them from cheating or gaming the system, I don't know that you don't get past a point of no return. You know, civilizations only last on average, what, 250 years?
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are.
Tucker, Don, both of you, what worries me about this point in time, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that too, because you have been in the media business much longer. You were doing crossfire when I was a kid. I mean, you've watched these leftists grow very from insane old. To like, to like really.
I'm in prostate health land. At
they're
this
like
point.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest now. But Tucker, what worries me now is the tools of suppression are that much more advanced. Yeah. CBDCs, AI, facial recognition technology. You're not going to be able to jaywalk in this dystopian future without some commie behind a keyboard being able to issue you a citation.
Yeah. I think it's really important to spray paint and shoot the surveillance cameras.
Get rid of those like sons of bitches,
yeah,
right?
By force. Yeah. But the truth is your phone controls you, and if there is a mark of the beast, it's probably your phone. I would just say one thing about that super quick is don't let anybody put technology in your body. I don't care how great they tell you it's going to be. Don't ever allow that. Don't ever allow anyone to put, I mean, beyond like an artificial knee or a heart valve, but
chips.
Absolutely not, under no circumstances allow that, period. Because then you're not human anymore. So A. B, I see signs of hope everywhere. I feel like people are way more honest than they were even a year ago. And way nicer to each other. In the world that I live in, people are way deeper and more real. Mm-hmm. And if that's not hope for the future, if that's not a sign of rebirth, like, I don't know what is. Yeah, am I imagining this? Do you feel this way?
I see it. Like, again, if we don't win, I see these ridiculous policies destroying us. But yes. if we do, the level of people that I see coming up to me now vocally...
Yes.
Right. It's demographics that you'd be like, no way, Republican. Like it's the kind of thing 5 years ago, they walk up to me. I'm like, well, am I going to get like, you know, maced or like attacked or verbally assaulted? And they're screaming across airports like, Gwen, MAGA. It's so palpable.
Aren't they
it's
nice?
So clear.
Too?
And they're so nice.
Yes.
You know, I had garbage men jumping out of trucks the other week when I was in New York for my father's case. I'm walking down the street and they're jumping out of trucks to give me a high five. Like, you guys, we were wrong. Just go fight. We got to save our country. There is a momentum that's so palpable right now that I see and feel, you know, that I believe it, but I also don't believe that there's any level that the Democrat Party won't go. They'd show up with 5 billion votes and be like, this is the freest and fairest election ever. You know, they'll do that.
They don't care.
They don't care. They're, you know, the democracy that they, you know, there used to be a pretense that you have to believe it's real to actually have said democracy, right? I don't think they care anymore. They'll take the win even if no one believes it anymore.
I don't think they can cheat Joe Biden into the White House, though. It's too far at this point.
Like, wait. Exit question, because I know you got a heart out at 7. I want to respect your time. And Don, you too. I got a special guest. Come on over here. We got the great Rachel Campos Duffy. Tucker says he used to work with her somewhere. I don't know. I don't know anything about her.
Don says she's my favorite. He's the one person I watch.
She's the best. We love Rachel.
She's the
Rachel,
best.
Welcome to the show. So I'm going to get your thoughts
on this,
too.
You know, she is the bravest, actually.
She has got cojones bigger than me. Very impressed. So we love Rachel. But I'm going to ask you all this. I'll start with you, Tucker, and then let you go. I really appreciate you doing this, by the way.
Sorry, you're a man of your word. My nephew sitting right there. This is everyone's the Bongino studio.
Is this your nephew here?
That's my nephew, Charles Carlson, right there.
Nice
to meet you, brother.
Handsome kid.
The Swedes are good-looking people.
Better looking than all of us. Maybe not Don. No. So obviously the polls, I mean, you know, polls, whatever, give it. But the polls are trending in a really bad direction for Biden. So I'll start with you, Tucker. There's been an October surprise every midterm and election since 2016. Any idea about what it could be this time around? I mean, it could be anything from Donald Trump's handing Ukraine to Trump because he's him and Don Jr. working on a real estate project. I'm like, really? When did that? I mean, any idea what that could be?
I have no idea. All I know is, and I didn't know this till this morning, that actually it was Iran that tried to kill Trump the other day.
Yeah, amazing.
It was Iran.
He looked Iran. It's amazing. Isn't it incredible, by the way, how that leaked?
I knew the Iranians.
Isn't that how that leaked?
You know, I have felt for many years that the real threat to me was Iran. They're always calling me racist and flooding my country with illegal aliens. They're pumping fentanyl in. Yeah, what's the October surprise? Of course, it's war, probably war with Iran. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think, and I'm totally opposed to that, actually. And I'm not pro-Iran, but Iran is irrelevant to the country that I live in, which is collapsing in a lot of ways that have nothing to do with Iran. So don't tell me Iran is the biggest problem, okay, or Putin is the biggest problem. That's not true. I live here. That's not true. Those may be problems or whatever. You know, you can worry about that, but those are not the pressing problems. And anyone who tells you they are the pressing problems is a liar. Yeah. A. B, I still don't think they can cheat Biden in because it's just so obviously false. No one will ever believe in democracy again. Biden is non-compos menace. He appears to have Parkinson's or some neurological disorder, but that's obvious. It's not even debated anymore. And Trump just got shot in the face and stood up, like pushed off the Secret Service to stand with blood streaming out his face and said, fight. That's the leader that's the comatose patient. There's no way you can do that. Right. It's not just in America, but to the world. Not one person on the entire planet, billions of people, will believe that. So I don't think they can do it.
Yeah. Rachel?
I actually want to give this over to Don because I actually have a question related to that. And then I want to ask, if you don't mind, Tucker something.
You can do whatever you want. Okay. You're the great Rachel.
Just having fun.
Just take over.
So Don, what else can they do? I mean, I think
impeachment didn't work. Then they tried, taking his businesses away. Then they fined him $500 million for paying back bank loans with interest on time.
The
banks are literally, the bank is on the stand.
They were witnesses him.
I'm like, no, we want to do more business with Trump. Like, it was like, we got other business with, we'd love to do more. Like, they're like, no, you are a victim. I mean, everything's a victim. Then when that doesn't work, they tried to throw him in jail. They've been trying to do that for quite some time. They tried to do the same to me because, apparently I was an agent of Russia. Had no idea, but you are. Well, we're Putin stooges because we're willing to say that this is bullshit, which it is. It was the natural progression, right? I mean, you said it. We all got called conspiracy theorists, but I wasn't at all surprised. And the rhetoric didn't stop. I don't know if you saw the clip yesterday when I went on. I went to the floor. My brother and I are going over there
on the show.
So it wasn't like I'm there. We're there at a historic moment.
Childhood separations on your dad.
Yeah.
Even Odo Lopez.
What about the kids in cages? I go. You mean the Obama cages? And this guy goes nuts. I'm like, either he was too stupid to actually know.
Yes, possible.
Yes. By the way, I'm so unimpressed with so many of these people.
Don't attribute to malice when you can attribute to stupidity.
But to our point of where we are as a nation, I was like, oh my God, they couldn't even wait 48 hours. My dad was shot in the face. If I wasn't sort of part of that movement, I was just a citizen and someone spoke to me like that in that period of time, that hostile, it would end up in a fist fight, right? That's where I'm not allowed to do that. But
you would have won.
I'm not getting in fights. I'm not going to win. That one would have been over very fast.
But
they would have sued me, whatever it was.
Exactly. No,
but oh my God, the narrative, the talking points, because they have to at least pull back on calling my father a Nazi for another 36 hours. They'll be back at it because what are they going to? They can't campaign on the economy. They're not going to campaign on jobs. I know Joe Biden's the greatest job president because he let people go back to work.
It's going
to
allow him to be a victim. Allow as if he wanted to be shot in the face. Yeah. Hey, bro, send that round. Hold on, I'm going to duck a little bit.
Yeah, send it again. You missed me. I want to be a little. It's these people are insane.
But Tucker's right, Don, that no one's going to believe it if he doesn't win, if your dad doesn't win. And so then what do they do?
Yes,
I think that's
exactly.
Really fascinating question. And only,
I don't think they care. They're just happy to hold that power. Like I said, that's what I was saying earlier. There used to be a Democrat party that would at least, even if I disagree, they at least cared that people believed in democracy. For them, democracy is they're, ha, 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 those stupid peasants, they believe in what we're saying. It's a soundbite for them. Mm. It means nothing to them. I mean, they call everyone that they don't like is a fascist, but they're the ones locking up their political opponents. They're the ones, fining them. They're the ones censoring speech. They're the ones working with the big tech industry to do the same.
Dressed in all black, beating people on the street. Yeah, fascist.
exactly. I mean, I know there's grandmothers that walked inside the velvet ropes on January 6th, holding cell phones. They didn't even know they weren't even supposed to be there. They did jail time. But if you burn down the city of Portland, it's that's different. That's for social justice. And the vice president can come out and bail you out and raise money for you. It's so insane. I hope that people get it. But if you don't, can you ever win again? As they sort of continue to rig that system and just fill government with more bureaucrats that are going to get entrenched and just do the damage that they're doing. I don't know. I don't want to be dystopian about it because, I think, honestly, this week is about hope because I think people realize that we do have a chance, but we are not in a fair fight. You got to beat the margin of fraud. I kind of say, to win by two, you got to win by six.
Yeah, too big to rig.
Tucker, do you think we can overcome the margin of fraud?
I do. I don't think Trump will lose. I'm a terrible predictor of things. I can do big trends, but fine motor skills are beyond my ability. But I think in this case, it's just impossible to believe it. And also, can I just be honest? For the last, whatever, it's been 8 years, it's been kind of Trump alone against every power center in the world. And that's no longer true. That's changing really. Elon Musk, within 10 minutes of Trump being shot, endorsed Trump. Richest man in the world. Followed by, you know, one of your former guest was sitting right here, David Sachs. Andreessen Horowitz, you know, biggest venture capital firm in the world. They're like, we're going to send money. I mean, it's like all of a sudden it's okay for people who have an awful lot to lose to be on Trump's side. It's hard to overstate how powerful that is. It's like all of a sudden the stigma of supporting Trump, the only reason they've gotten this far in persecuting Trump is because normal people are not allowed to object to it.
Yeah, people have been made to be afraid.
It's falling away. It's
totally falling away.
People have been made to be afraid, right? There was a consequence to being a vocal Trump supporter. There was a once you had enough people stand up, it became easy for everyone else. And once you had that critical mass, it became impossible for them to go after him.
Exactly. And it's almost, it's a corollary to when Trump gets shot in the face and stands up anyway. It gives everybody heart. It makes everybody courageous watching the leader be courageous. When Elon Musk stands up, when David Sachs, who's a huge deal in the tech world, stands up, when Andreessen Horowitz, huge deal in the tech world, the biggest deal in the tech world, when they stand up, everyone else is like, you know what? I'm brave now too. And I think that's how movements start. That's how things change. And I think it's too far along to stop it.
It's not just people who are afraid of losing their job or putting a sign in front of their house because, you know, they have a small business and they're afraid they'll be persecuted. Right after that moment happened, I got a text from a very nice lady in my church. And she said, I'm so upset. I'm so sad. I'm praying. And she said, I'm done being quiet.
Yes.
And there were a lot of people that just out of politeness, because that's how so many conservatives are. I'm not one of those people, but there's a lot of people like that. And I thought that was so, to me, that was one of the most interesting texts. I'm done being quiet.
Amen.
And she's a, you know, an older, you know, very classy lady. And she just said, I'm done caring about what other people's feelings are. They don't give a damn about our feelings. And so that's where she's at right now.
Yeah, the TikToks I'm seeing, the Gen Z is actually where we're making the biggest ground.
Yes.
Because they realize, like, they have no future.
Yeah.
You know, they'll never own a home.
How old is Gen Z?
It's that, you know, I guess, the, you know, the 18 to 25
I never meet any liberals. I never meet any liberals in that.
Yeah. It's hard to believe, actually, because that's sort of
true.
You know, they've been indoctrinated from childhood. They've been, you know, they've from kindergarten on, their teachers are pushing them. They've been corrupted by that. They're pushed that way by Hollywood. They're pushed that way by music. And yet,
well,
they're like,
Tinker, you met you're friendly with the Nelk guys. They're not overly political at all, but they are definitely not what you take for 18-year-old liberals.
No, and I've got a lot of kids and a lot of nieces and nephews. I've got one sitting right there, and I mean, maybe the people who wind up at my house are like self-selected, or maybe they are. But I'm serious. They're all kind of pretty normal from normal families. I never meet anybody who's like, you know, trans rights are the most important thing. I see like 22-year-old girls being like, the tranny thing's driving me crazy, actually. It's too insulting to women. Or like, they're just sort of sick of it. Doesn't mean they're right-wingers. Doesn't mean they're going to vote Republican. But they're absolutely sick of the pointless silliness of liberalism because it's zero sum. It's a freaking cul-de-sac. It doesn't go anywhere.
I'm going to let you guys go. You've been generous with your time. I want to plug an event first. So, folks, I'm doing an event with this guy called Tucker Carlson. He's eponymously, it's named after some guy. Looks like
Putin
this guy,
stooge.
Too. Putin stooge.
Big time.
It's going to be in Putin stooge central Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, it's
a lot of Putin guys in Tulsa.
So, Tucker, I did a book signing out in Oklahoma City, and you want to talk about God's country. Every county voted for Trump. It's the only state. We were expected 300 people. Paula, how many people showed up? Like 1,200 or something? We were there 4 hours. Jim had to help me sign books. Producer Jim had his own book. Everyone's coming to this event. If you want tickets, TuckerCarlson.com, September 11th. Me and Tucker on stage, up on the screen right now. Do me a favor. Go there tonight. Pick up tickets. Buy your plane tickets. We love you, Oklahoma. It's going to be an amazing event. He's also got events with Vivek. You got one with Don, too, right?
I'm too embarrassed to talk about this. It's like, I can't sell anything. Listen, you're so good at it, though.
Guys, I'm going to sell it for him, right?
Yeah, we do have an event. That's right. I forgot the dates, but I agree.
Party
time.
Listen to me, because he's really bad at this. And I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
Tucker doesn't like, he's a humble guy. And I'm not. I'm sorry. I think you can probably get that. He's really gives a shit. He's doing these events, not in New York City. Nothing wrong with New York City. It's just he's doing them in places a lot of conservatives just don't go and talk to people. Tulsa's one of those stops. He's going to be all over the country. Go to TuckerCarlson.com. You can buy tickets. They are very affordable. It is going to be the most candid conversation. We'll shake hands. We'll say hello. People ask me, hey, you going to say hello? Fuck yeah, I'm going to say, what the hell you think I'm going to Tulsa for? I'm going there to say hello. We're going to be there. TuckerCarlson.com, TuckerCarlson.com. Buy tickets. There's a number of events. If you can't make mine, there's one with Don, Vivek. He's got an amazing lineup of speakers. TuckerCarlson.com.
But the champagne room is extra.
The champagne room is extra. Kid Rock will be there.
The Tucker Carlson lap dance is not cheap. It's worth it. I had to, before I signed up, I was like, I've actually been
in the champagne room in Kid Rock's bar in Nashville. I had to get an IV the next day. So I actually went back to the house, too. You've been there? The White House?
I have.
Very nice, right?
It's awesome.
I mean, when he said it was the Tennessee White House, I thought he was kidding.
He's absolutely not kidding.
It looks like the actual White House.
He's got a church/horse stable on his property.
It is the most beautiful property. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Rumble, we kicked ass. Largest live stream in the world tonight by a factor of like 22,000, 180 plus thousand people watch. God bless you. Long live free speech. Thank you, Chris Pavlovsky and the Rumble team. We got Viva here too, who's awesome. He's always chiming in. And thank you, Guy, and the team at Rumble. You guys are awesome for putting this on. See you guys tomorrow on the podcast, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. local. And I got another special tomorrow night with Jack Posobiec and Mike Davis. Thank you, Rachel, too, for gracing us with your presence. We appreciate it.
And thank you for hiring Evita.
Oh, well, listen, it's the best decision me and Paul ever made. We launched her show today, and she was one of the biggest streamers in the world. Take care, folks. See you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.